Today we will study Pirkei Avos, Perek Beis, Mishnah, Yudalid, in Askel version, it is Mishnah Yudchet. So, the Mishnah says, this is the Askel, I'll read with a based off Askel translation, with minor changes from itself. The Mishnah and its translation. Rabbi Elazar says, Rabbi Shakulim al Torah, a person should be diligent in the study of Torah, meaning focus, whether in quantity, the amount of time that a person dedicates, or quality, or focus. And know what to answer a heretic. And know before whom you toil. Seemingly a reference to Hashem, that the toil here is the study of Torah, and you should know that you're studying Torah in front of Hashem. Know that your employer can be relied upon. To pay for you the wage of your labor. I'd like to read for you the commentary of Rabbeinu Yonah, as me translating with my own additions and clarifications. So the first part of the Mishnah talks about a person needs to study the Torah with diligence, with great focus, or great amount of time. And then it says the person should know how to respond to the Epicurus, to the heretic. So the first part is study Torah with diligence. The person should dedicate himself to the study of Torah, and every person should know how to respond to the heretic. A person should study so much Torah until he knows he knows so much Torah that he even knows how to respond to the words of the heretic. Why should you respond to the heretic? Because if you don't respond to him according to his claims, the heretic is getting up there and trying to convince people to believe in his heresy. Ushkarav, you don't want to get in debate with the heretic if you don't know how to respond. That's not going to be good. Because if you don't know how to respond, people are going to say, oh, this is heretic getting the upper hand. Maybe we should learn from this heretic. Maybe the heretic wins the debate, then people are going to say, maybe instead of learning from the Torah to Jew, we should learn from the heretic. And then the same name of heaven is desecrated in such a situation. And Epicurus over here, this heretic, the person denies the oral Torah. And it's also people that they decide halacha, Jewish law, not based on halacha, not based on the traditional way of studying Jewish law, as there are many groups of people nowadays who, based on modern values and modern ways of looking at the world, they want to, they decide that give up many important halachas, like the fact that the man has to be 10 men, or other ways of deciding halacha and discarding traditional Jewish values that not be modern enough. So these are the heretics that Rabbeinu Yonah says, and the Mishnah is telling us that we should know how to respond to them. So it's a very nice thing to know how to respond to the heretics. And I wanted to, maybe I'll bring in my own way of looking at it, that not arguing over here, but to say that perhaps a person who doesn't know how to respond to the heretic, maybe it's just better not to respond at all than to try to get into the debate. It takes a lot of humility for that. Like you find this Jew who's saying his heresy, and it upsets you a lot. What he's saying, that the Jews should do this. He's talking about the opinions of the Gemara against the. He's speaking against the Talmud, speaking against our Torah Shabbat Peh, our oral tradition from Moshe Rabbeinu until today, it's hard to even describe what Torah Shabbat Peh is, our oral tradition is. It's such a broad topic, but it's sometimes it's easy to notice. We have an Epicurus, we have a heretic out there. So Rabbeinu Yonah says that if you don't know how to respond, then it's going to be a chil Hashem. It's going to cause, and you do respond, but your response is foolish. Your response seems very silly. People your response is shallow, but the way the heretic speaks is very convincing, and it's going to convince people to go after the heretic. So I wanted to offer a suggestion that there's a second option. So the second option is not to respond at all and to be silent. At the very least, it's minimizing the damage. And it takes a lot of humility that a lot of people believe they know how to respond to the heretic, but they don't know. They don't, really don't know. Because the Torah, what the heretic's involved in is very complicated halachic discussions or philosophical discussions, and it's not necessarily everyone is zocher, even if they study Daf Yomi, even if they study Chumash, they're not necessarily zocher to study in such depth that they're able to truly grasp the arguments of the heretic. Yeah, it's not necessarily like that. So that's the second path, that everyone should have that humility. If the person doesn't know whether he's able to respond to the heretic or not, it's always good to have a close relationship with a Talmid Chacham, with a Rav, who's able to tell you where you're holding in your Torah learning, and what's the best course of action regarding the modern groups of people that are out there today that are against the Torah. Like, how do you deal with the groups of people that are fighting our Torah values? Do you just like follow your feelings and make angry Facebook post against them, or do you go out on a Twitter rage against these groups, these synagogues, these yeshivas, these peoples? What's the response? I like to suggest to everyone that the response it should be according to the Torah, according to Torah values, and Torah values is the Torah values. But the most qualified people to decide how to respond and how to deal with these groups is a Talmid Chacham, a person who dedicated his life to the Torah study, the great rabbis of our shuls, the Rosh Yeshivas, of the famous yeshivas. Everyone should have guidance from, and not just what their emotions, their anger, their rage against these groups guide their response. So that's one guidance. So there's more to study, Baruch Hashem. I'm going to continue on with this interesting commentary here by Rabbi Yisrael Lipschitz on this Mishnah. It's a commentary called Yachin and Boaz. So this is one of the two pillars in front of the sanctuary of the Beit HaMikdash. One is called Yachin and Boaz. So the Yachin pillar, the Yachin commentary, has a lot of interesting things. Yeah, very, very insightful over here. So, Rabbi Lezer says, the person should be diligent in study of Torah. So he points out that, what is this diligence? It's one of it is that a person should do a lot of, it's not just studying new material, it's also reviewing the material you learned previously. Because there's a lot of the time that what a person learned yesterday is relevant to what he learned today. You know? It's like, especially in the Talmud, a lot of the times it's one big discussion, and knowing what you learned yesterday is very relevant to knowing what you're learning today. And ideally, I don't necessarily keep this as I should, but I could still share this with everyone that the Chazar reviewing what one learns is part of the ingredient of successful Torah study, and that's part of the diligence over here. And a person should then he points out that a person should know the next part of the Mishnah. A person should know how to respond to the Epicurus as a heretic. So how does a person come to know how to respond to the heretic? Actually, it turns out what I said earlier was a little bit related to what I didn't even realize it, but what the Yachin commentary says over here is a little bit related to what I said earlier. It says that a person should, when a person is studying Torah in depth, a person should study it in depth. That's what I meant to say. A person should have all these questions a person should ask about his learning. Very, 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 it sounds very cool. Mi, ma, the mi, o, mi, matai, aye, ech, lam. So I'm not going to go into all seven questions here, but a person should really, it translates a little bit as who, what, to who, or who, when, how, and why. That's sort of the translation. The person should just take what he's learning at face value. Okay, their words, they have a certain meaning in English. The person should investigate. And ask questions on what he's learning. Questions lead to answers, and answers, it leads to deeper understandings after a person creates a question. Like, I have this great way of looking at a question. The questions open up a vessel through a question, a person is carving a space in his heart, so to speak, to receive the knowledge that a person is to receive greater knowledge. So before a person asks the question, his heart's closed. Like, it's just what's in front of them, whatever information he just heard, but the heart's closed. The person asks the question, the person takes that step to, open himself up. Like, I'm opening, with that question, I'm opening myself up to a new understanding, to see things differently. It's a certain humility to ask the question. People are like, okay, as a question, that's going to imply that what I understood before isn't good enough. That's as a question, and maybe based off the question, I'll come to the answer, and the answer will show that what I learned, what I thought I understood about this Torah statement, this Torah teaching, was totally wrong. So people are afraid of the questions. They're like, okay, no questions. We don't want to hear any. We just want to live in our illusions that we understand everything. That everything just makes sense. No questions. And I just want to bring in some another Pirkei Avos Mishnah. Once I'm getting into this discussion, it's in a Baishan Lami. The person who is bashful doesn't learn. And he's bashful, he's afraid, he's sort of scared, sort of embarrassed, doesn't want to ask questions, he doesn't learn. He learns, but he doesn't really learn, he's not successful. slightly unsuccessful. He's a little bit embarrassed when the Rebbe is giving the shiur, and he's gonna be, and he asks a question, and everyone's gonna realize that he doesn't understand something. Like he'll never understand anything if he doesn't ask that question. Like he'll stay with his lack of understanding, and that's ultimately that's the Rebbe's job, and ideally the students in the class that he's with, they'll also respect that, they'll appreciate that he shouldn't, that the person who's asking the question, as long as the question is coming from an honest place, a sincere desire to learn, it's not an interruption of the shiur. The question, you could ask your rabbi, how to treat questions during class, but in general, many shiurim, when the rabbi is giving a shiur, the question isn't an interruption, that is, it's welcome, it's at the very least, even the rabbis who can't interrupt their shiur of the question, they love to hear the question at the end of shiur. And sometimes when the rabbi is seemingly in a rush that he has to do something immediately after the shiur, it still doesn't mean that he doesn't want your question. That if you were to catch him at a different time, he'd love to hear your question. And that's how a person learns, that a person ask the questions, and a person opens himself up to the possibility that what he understood now was wrong. So back to the Yachin commentary here. So, okay, with all these questions, the Yachin commentary explains that a person comes to a clear understanding of what he's learning. A person should understand the reasons. Like if there's a mitzvah, if sometimes people aren't interested in the reasons, like why do we put on tefillin? Why would we put on tefillin? Like Hashem commanded me to put on tefillin. Let's think about something else. Okay, there's some Epicurus, and it doesn't even have to be Epicurus. Like, I heard someone take this Mishnah as it doesn't have to be an Epicurus, a heretic was intentionally out there. But like, even someone who's just new to this Torah Judaism thing, and just finds this tefillin to be odd. Like, he hasn't grown up with this tefillin, and you're teaching him like you'll learn the reasons for putting on tefillin at the very least, so that you could have a satisfactory answer when the guy is like, "Why put on leather boxes?" At least that's something nice to tell him, that he could be inspired, that he could relate to it. Even if you're not learning the reasons for mitzvahs for yourself, if you are going to be interaction with many people or non-religious Jews, they're going to ask you about your Torah observance. It's good to learn some nice, pleasant reasons, nice sounding reasons for mitzvot, to be able to, that it should be appetizing for them as well. And just a little bit more. Yeah, a little bit more. So it says that the next part of the Mishnah is person should know in front of who he is working. And it says over here that if you have that remembrance that you're in front of Hashem, Hashem's like literally standing in front of you and staring at you, watching you learn. And it's a little bit scary, but some people are really listening to your thoughts, and it's not everyone's able to handle this sort of awareness, but some people are. It depends on the personality, but if a person is ready for this type of level of awareness of Hashem's presence, then a person could literally be aware of the fact that, he's sitting in front of the Gemara, and he's just fantasizing about, what's for lunch. And he's just thinking about it, and then he's going to think about it again. Like, at a certain point, a person should, catch himself. It's like, wait a second, Hashem is sitting, standing there, waiting for me to hear the next line in the Gemara, and I'm just thinking about this fantasizing about what's going to be for lunch, what food I'm going to take out of the refrigerator, like, yeah, it just sort of helps you focus. It's for the people that are, I'm not saying that everyone's able to do this, for the people who are able to, it helps you focus to like have the awareness of Hashem's presence. And our translates, know that your employer can be relied upon to pay you the wage of your labor. Yeah, it's so the labor over here is the study of Torah. And the Baal Malacha is what is this Baal Malacha? This person whose Malacha is related to Parnassa, activities that you do for the sake of your livelihood. That if you study Torah, he could give you reward in matters of Malacha, in matters of Parnassa. That is amazing thing that the Mishnah is telling us, that you get schar even in this world. For the study of Torah, as we say every day, we read a statement of the Gemara. There are things that a person consumes the fruit in this world, but the main principal reward, the main reward, is in the world to come. But there's still a person can get side benefits, a small benefit even in this world, small amount of reward in this world. But still, the reward for infirmity is preserved in the next world. And Talmud Torah connected Kulam, that one of the greatest mitzvahs that has this benefit is Talmud Torah, which is equivalent to all, which is a connected Kulam, which is greater, possibly translates as a greater reward than all the other mishnas and all the other mitzvahs mentioned in that paragraph of Elderim that we say after the blessings of Torah. So the person who is in charge and who has control of your matters of your livelihood can give you schar for your in matters of panasa, that your panasa should come easier, or other types of benefits in matters of involvement of trying to get your livelihood as a result of your Torah study. So the Bezat Hashem, I hope and pray that this learning should be a chus for the full shalem of Yitzchak Simcha, then go to Devorah and talk to Shachar Yisrael. I hope everyone enjoys. Have a good day.